So I got a question for you this morning, a very simple question. So as you think about things this morning, as you look at your life, at where you've been over the past week or month or year, what's going on right now and what's happening in your life, here's my question. How does the Lord feel about you? How does the Lord feel about you this morning? When your face comes to His mind, what's He thinking about? What's He feeling about you? You know, there are a lot of people who would have a lot of different ideas about how God would be thinking when their name came to mind. Some people would say, boy, when God thinks about me, He is just angry. God looks at me and He remembers all of the things I've done wrong and all the ways that I have failed and all the ways I'm feeling failing right now, and He's just angry. Other people might say, well, God's not angry, but I will say this, He's awfully disappointed in me. He looks at what's going on not only in my life, but in my mind and in my actions and in my thoughts. And God knows I have fallen so far short of what He wants to make out of me. And when God thinks about me, He's just disappointed. Some people would say, you know, when God thinks about me, He just gets excited. Boy, I've been doing it right lately. I've just been getting everything exactly right. I've been where I was supposed to be. I've done what I was supposed to do. I've shown up where I was supposed to show up. I've been living the way I'm supposed to live. God's just excited that I'm finally starting to get some things right. And then some people might say this, you know, when my face and my name comes before God, He looks down and His face is just blank. He can't even remember who I am. He can't remember where I live. He can't remember what's going on in my life. The truth is, God really doesn't care. He's pretty much indifferent where I am concerned. When you think about it, though, when you ask the question, what is God thinking about me? How does God feel about me? There's really only one logical answer. And that logical answer is, it depends. How does God feel about you? Well, it depends. It depends on what I've been doing lately. It depends on how long it's been since I've let Him down. It depends on whether I've been doing right or doing wrong. It depends upon whether I've earned His attention or whether He's just forgotten about me. When it comes down to it, it depends upon whether I have earned His approval lately. One thing is for sure, people would say, and it is simply this. If the Lord is going to love you, then you're going to have to earn it. After all, that's how we treat one another, isn't it? I love you if, I love you when, I love you unless. In every human relationship, we begin to say, I love you, but it's really all conditional. I love you unless you've disappointed me lately. I love you as long as you're making me happy. I love you as long as you love me first. Love is conditional. That just makes sense, doesn't it? And that's why today's passage makes no sense at all, and why it is also our greatest source of hope. You see, if we really are going to live from faith to faith the way we're going to be talking about over these next few weeks, if we really are talking about the faith that I have that comes, that's a growing faith, the faith that I share with other people, if I'm really living from faith to faith, then that means the focus of what I believe is the one that I trust. The focus is not me, it's Him. And the only way I can trust Him is to know how He feels about me. And that's what makes this morning's message so powerful. I'm going to tell you before I begin this morning, today you're going to hear one of the simplest and most profound messages you will ever hear. You see, the Bible tells you something powerful in His Word. We read it together just a few moments ago. It's found in Romans 5, verse 8, where the Bible says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand what that means? Have you really stopped to think about that particular passage? God demonstrates His love toward us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what exactly does that mean, and how does it apply to your life today? Well, let me share a few things that you really need to know. The first thing you need to know is this: God made His love real. God made His love real. It's easier to make a promise than to keep a promise, isn't it? At least that's my experience, and it probably is yours too. It's easier to say you're going to do something than it is to do it. It's easier to promise that you're going to be there than to actually show up. It's easier to say something than to follow through on it. Over the years, I've been disappointed in enough people to know you can't take everybody at their word. That some people are going to say, yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, you can count on me. And all they really want is for you to leave them alone and go away. They have no intention of following up on the promises they've made to you. And so many times over the years, I have found myself waiting on people to show up to help me do something and having to realize they're not coming. Especially when we find out that it comes to love, when it comes to love. They say they love you. They promise they're going to be there for you. They tell you their love is unconditional. And then something goes wrong, or they get tired, and one day you wake up and find they never really loved you at all. But can I be honest with you this morning? The truth is this: what bothers me the most is not the times that other people have disappointed me. It's the times I have disappointed other people. It's the times when I have made promises, commitments, expressed my willingness that I will always be there. All you can count on me. Just, and then I was the one that let people down, especially when it comes to the Lord and people I love. Too many times I have said, you can depend on me. And when I said it, I really meant it. But then I failed. That's why it's so important to see what the Bible says about God's kind of love. The Bible says God did more than tell us He loved us. It says God demonstrated His love. God made it real. He didn't just say it, He did it. He showed His love in a way that is the greatest concrete expression of love the world has ever seen. God demonstrated His love for us because He sent His Son. He sent His Son to love us. He sent His Son to bring God's grace. He sent His Son to die so we could have everlasting life. There's only one reason that Jesus died. He died for us. What does God think about when my face comes to His mind? He thinks about the fact that there I am, one of untold millions of people that are the reason His Son had to die. And yet, when He thinks about me, He doesn't think about me in terms of anger or bitterness or blame. Instead, He thinks of me in terms of His great love. God demonstrated His love for us. Jesus Himself said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. One of the things we always need to remember, if I'm going to have a faith that's worth sharing, if I'm going to have a faith that is worth passing on from faith to faith, I've got to realize I truly am loved by God. You truly are loved by God. When God talks about loving you, it's not just words. When God talks about loving you, it's not just kind of a principle, an idea out there. It is a concrete expression of His absolute grace and concern and care for you. It means He looked at you and He loved you, and He sent His Son. And when Jesus died on the cross, when He carried the punishment for everything you'd done wrong, and I had done wrong, and all of us had done wrong, He was demonstrating God's love. What do I need to know about this one I trust, the one who has my faith? I need to know this. God didn't just say it, He did it. God demonstrated His love toward us. Well, nothing I've said so far is all that incredible to hear. I'll bet you in the last 5 minutes you haven't heard anything that you haven't heard before. The truth is, you've heard a message very similar to that from me not very many weeks ago, and you better hear one not very many weeks from now, because if we're anything, we are a church built upon the gospel. And the gospel is about a God who loved us enough to send His Son to be our Savior. So what makes Romans 5:8 so incredible? It's because of a phrase I haven't talked about yet, but this is what the Bible says. It says, God demonstrated His love. Christ died for us. And then here comes this incredible phrase. While we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were searching for God. Not when we were desperate for grace. Not when we were seeking in every direction to find some way home. Instead, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Take a moment this morning and let that sink in if it never has before. When did God love you? When you were still a sinner. When did Jesus die for you? When you were still a sinner. When did you discover that He had an eternal plan for your life while you were still a sinner? In fact, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says God loved you when you were helpless. Verse 6 says, when we were still without strength, when you were spiritually helpless, when there was nothing you could do to save yourself. One of the things that my family and I love to do, one of the things we've done lots of times with lots of groups, church groups and family groups and fun groups, is I love to go up to Ocoee and go whitewater rafting. Have you ever been whitewater rafting? If you haven't, then you need to know it is one of life's great thrills. You get in a raft with five other people and a guide, and off you go. They throw you in the river, and it is flowing, and there are rocks everywhere, and it is rushing just as fast as you can possibly go. It is a thrill ride. If you haven't been, well, call me. I'll go with you. I'd love to go. But if you ever go whitewater rafting, as they're going over, what you do before you ever get in the river, one of the things they will tell you is this. If something happens and somewhere along the way you fall out of the raft, don't try to save yourself. If you do, you're going to drown. Don't try to save yourself. Just let the river carry you. Don't fight the power of the river. And eventually, as you get down there, somebody else will reach in and they will save you and they'll pull you out. They will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Which is exactly what the Bible says spiritually. It says, while we were without strength, when there was nothing you could do to help yourself, when you were as far from God as you could possibly get, and you couldn't do anything to bring yourself back again, He loved you enough to save you while you were helpless. If you're here today and you're not a believer, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you've never trusted Him, and you believe somewhere along the way, somehow I'm going to be good enough and religious enough and spiritual enough that when the time comes when God, I stand before God and heaven and hell are in the balance, I'm going to be able to say, you know, God, I did so many good things and so few bad things. You just got to let me in because I've earned my way. And what the Bible says, no, you haven't. You're helpless. You're helpless to save yourself. You don't have the strength to save yourself. You can't earn your way in. You can't do it. While we were still helpless. And it goes on and it says this. Not only did God love you when you were helpless, it said God loved you when you were godless. Christ died for the ungodly. That doesn't just mean people who are actively rebellious. Usually when you hear somebody described and somebody describes them as saying they are as ungodly as you could possibly be. They live an ungodly life. What do you think about? Somebody who's in real rebellion against God. Somebody who knows right and does wrong. Somebody who understands I'm in the wrong place. I'm doing the wrong thing with the wrong people at the wrong time. But I'm going to do it. And that's what we think about. An ungodly life. An actively rebellious life. But here's the thing. When the Bible talks about those who are ungodly, when it says Christ died for the ungodly, it also means people who do not have Him in their lives. They are ungodly. It's not that they're actively rebellious. What Romans is saying is that before you ever gave the first thought to the Lord, He already loved you, and He was reaching out to save you. In your life when you were ungodly, you weren't thinking about Him at all. You had no great spiritual desire. It wasn't that you were a bad person. It was just that you ignored the whole idea that there might be a God out there and that He might care about you. At that time when you were actively rejecting the whole idea of God, He still loved you. He still loved you. And He died for you. He did it because He cared for you. Before you ever knew you needed Jesus, He'd already given His life for you. God loved you when you were helpless. God loved you when you were godless. The Bible says, and God loved you when you were worthless. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even die. Can I be honest with you this morning? I don't know very many people I'd be willing to die for. I'm going to tell you, if somebody walked in this door and the doors of this building and said, it's either you or one of them, I'm going to say, well, take your pick. There's not that many people I would die for. I would probably say, now leave that red-headed woman alone. But the rest of them, you know what? Why I can say that? Because you'd say the same thing about me. You'd say, the guy in front, he's easy. The guy in front. I know one thing is true. If I'm going to lay down my life for you, you better deserve it. You better be such a good person that I cannot imagine the world without you. And I know that the world needs you a lot more than it needs me. And so I'm willing to put myself on the line for you because you deserve it. But the Bible says God's love didn't wait for us to deserve it. He loves us when we are worthless. He loves us when not only do we not deserve it, we deserve not to receive it. But He still loves us. Why do we need to know that? Because this is what we need to know about the love of God. It is grace. It is pure grace. It is undeserved, unnecessary, extravagant grace because God loves us. That's why there's never been anybody beyond the reach of His love. That's why there's nobody He has ever given up on. Because He loves us. When we are most unlovable, He loves us. And He reaches out to save people who don't deserve it. And guess what? And that's all of us. That's all of us. If you haven't heard anything else I've said this morning, I pray that you hear this. Romans 5:8 tells us an incredible truth. It says, God does not wait for us to change before He loves us. It is His love that changes us. He doesn't say, clean yourself up, straighten yourself out, and then I'll love you. It is the fact that I am loved by Almighty God that gives me the strength to change. We are transformed by grace. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it incredible to know that all we can do is receive His love and trust Christ to save us? That's why verse 9 says, having now been made right by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. What is the Bible saying? God's love changes everything. You can sit through a service all your life long. You can attend church every Sunday for as long as you can remember. You can hear words like the words I've been saying today hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, and it won't make any impact on you until the day comes when all of a sudden you realize, He loves me. Not because I deserve it. Because I need it. I need it. He loves me. He died for me because He loves me. I have eternal hope because He loves me. I have faith in the one who loved me first. And because He loves me, I am a new creation. Have you ever experienced that truth? I mean, as a living reality. Not, I believe that's so, or not, I've heard that, or not, I don't have any doubt that's in the Bible. I'm talking about, have you ever experienced His great love for you? Because if you do, you'll be changed forever. You'll never be the same again. What does the Bible say? But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. That's someone I can have faith in. That's someone I can share with other people. That's the kind of God that goes from faith to faith. But it begins with personal trust. So I wonder this morning, are you here and you're not a believer? Oh, you know, I know you believe about, but have you ever believed in? Have you ever trusted Him? Have you ever experienced that kind of love and grace? If not, in a moment when we sing our invitation hymn, and as we stand and as we sing, you come to the front. I'll be here at the front, and Rich will be here at the front, and we would love nothing more than to help you come to know personally the one who loved you and gave Himself for you. Or maybe you need to be a part of a fellowship and God's drawing you to First Baptist Church and you know His Spirit is moving in you and telling you this is where you belong. Or maybe there's a decision you need to make, a personal decision. You may need to talk to one of us. You may need to make use of the altar steps. There may be something you need to do that draws you to the front. All I'm going to say is when the Holy Spirit moves, you obey. You come. Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation hymn.